The following presentation was recorded at the 1996 Teachers Workshop at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
What I've discovered, Milo, is if you talk after it's time to go to lunch, there's not much use talking.
No, they will listen, but don't rush it.
Okay.
Yeah, don't push me out.
Well, my last session is, My last session is going to be briefer than the other two, and I really did it intentionally so as to allow you time to respond. I would like you to be able to respond after I've shared with you a little bit here, if my voice lasts that long. So I'm going to share a little bit on striving for excellence through class time management, then I would like to have time for you to respond about anything that I've said today, or that Brother Hurst said, that anything you'd like to respond to this morning. Ecclesiastes 3, of course, tells us that there's a time for everything. Everything good, that is. And, of course, we know that time is a great equalizer. We all have the same amount of time, regardless if your name is whatever it is, or if it's Queen Elizabeth or Bill Clinton. You all have the same amount of time. It's a great equalizer. Nobody has more time or less time. So time is, as one of my teachers had on her bulletin board, I think it was last year, time is the stuff that life is made of. So don't waste time, because you're wasting life when you waste time. Once again, I told you there's a phrase I want you to remember, right? The teacher is the school, right? You won't forget that one. Teaching, I think, is both a science and an art. I always enjoy asking prospective teachers when they come in, they're looking for a job. I say, well, do you think teaching is a science or an art? And they usually have to think a little bit about that one. It's really both. You can learn to be a teacher, but there's also, I think, an art to teaching that unless you have some of that native ability, you're going to work a little bit harder at it. Just as in our family, I have no artistic ability at all. And I'm not sure Miss Lefevre would agree with that. I've never given her a chance to try me on the art subject. But I feel that I really have no artistic ability. My younger brother, however, does chainsaw art. You know, he takes a big tree and makes it into a bear or an Indian or an eagle clutching a fish or something like that. If I take a chainsaw to a tree, I only get one thing, and that's sawdust. So, and he seems to be able to take anything and make something good out of it. Well, maybe if I put enough energy and time into it, and Tish would show me how to draw or paint, maybe I would get better at it at least. But at this point, I usually have to tell my students what it is I'm drawing, because otherwise they would have no idea. Well, attempting to illustrate that teaching is both a science and an art. And if God has endowed you with some native ability, I trust then that you will apply yourself to the science of that ability and learn to be an excellent teacher. And as I said before, school happens when you are standing before your class teaching, when you're preparing for teach. This is when school happens. There's a great deal else that goes into school. But that's really what school is all about. All right, some things relative to time. This is just practical stuff. Be there on time. When your class is supposed to start, then be there. I guess I'm this totally left-brained person who's, besides that, compulsive. But when something's supposed to happen at 9 o'clock, then I expect my teachers to be in the room, ready to teach, prepared, copies made, everything up and running. That's really important, because we do expect our teachers, we expect our students to be on time, don't we? If we say we want it turned in on November 6th, we expect it turned in. And if we don't, we start docking points. And yet, if you don't model that for them, if you come to class late, or if you don't do things on time, you're not teaching them really what you're saying you're teaching. So be to class on time. Be prepared. Have your copies made. Have your lessons studied. Have your materials ready to go. Don't say, oh, I just forgot I left the overhead projector over there somewhere. When you do that, you're teaching your students something very different than what you say you're teaching. So be there on time and be prepared. I can't stress this enough. If all I say in the next half hour is be there on time, and you're always on time, I hope we've accomplished something. You must be on time. And as someone has said, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, forget it. So being on time means being early. And we have staff devotions, as I suppose most of your schools do. And between staff devotions and time for school to begin, there's some time. Now, what do we do with this time? Well, what I want my staff to do, which is difficult to get them to do, by the way, is as soon as staff devotions are finished, get out of the staff room and go to your classroom and meet with the students. Because the students are there, they're in the hall, they're playing volleyball or basketball in the gym, they're talking, and what it's so easy to do as staff is to stay in the staff room and just sort of have a, you know, nice time and talk about, now nobody at our school drinks coffee. I don't know if people at your school drink coffee or not, but I don't drink coffee, and, well, occasionally just to be sociable I do. We're not into that, so we're not sitting there drinking coffee and eating donuts or anything like that, but nevertheless, the teachers will tend to want to sit there. Don't do that. You're hired to be a teacher. You're supposed to be there on time. You're supposed to be giving the students your time. Staff devotions are finished. Go out in the hall. Mingle with the students. Find out what's happening in their lives. Just talk with them. They're always talking about something. They're doing something. Sometimes things they're not supposed to be doing. And if you're there, particularly if you're in your classroom, if you're in your classroom in those minutes between staff devotions and time for school to start, students many times will love to come in and talk with you. And you'll find a very different relationship between yourself and the student if you will allow them that time. I know we're talking about class time, but class time begins before class time begins. You need to be prepared, and when students know that you're available, they will take advantage of that time. Now, don't think you can do this haphazardly and only occasionally be there, because then they don't know when you're there and when you're not, and there's nothing consistent about it. But when they know that you're there, or they know that you're going to shoot a few baskets with them before school starts, it'll just go a long ways toward making class time more profitable. Okay, so be there on time. Another one is use time wisely. Of course, this is very general, but what I'd like to say specifically here about time use is don't soapbox. You know what soapboxing is? You just have an issue or something you always like to talk about, and along with that, don't love being up front. Now, I hope you love teaching, and of course that involves being up front, but don't fall into one of the traps that teachers can fall into, and that's sort of love being on stage. Teaching can be an ego trip. You realize that? If you've never taught before, it won't be probably the first year. It'll probably be a scary trip. But, you know, you may walk in front of your class with a great deal of fear and trepidation. But people have been teaching year after year. What I discover is they can sort of use the class time as an ego trip for themselves. So just think about how you handle this. And be careful with that time. You're hired there. You're supposed to be teaching a certain subject at a certain time. So invest that time, invest your time before that being prepared so that you can teach it, and so that you're not just up front telling stories about yourself, or, you know, if you like to go hunting, then you have to tell them about the deer you shot, or, you know, if you went shopping, you have to tell them, or you went on a trip. Now, if you went on a trip and it's a profitable exposure to tell them what you learned, that's fine. But you understand what I'm saying? Don't learn to love being up front and making class time an ego trip for yourself. That is a danger for teachers. But teach with real conviction. And if you can weave in personal examples, I'm not opposed to that. I don't think that's wrong. I think that makes it more real to the student. But just to use that time because you now have control. You have a great deal of control when you're in front of a class. And all those people, I mean, right now, I've got all of your time monopolized, right? I can do what I want. That's a great deal of power. And you didn't misuse that. You don't have a right to misuse that power. You don't have a right to misuse that in terms of foisting something on students that is not contributing and not conducive to their education. So when you're up front, you need to be evaluating your own goals and motives and make sure that you're using that time in a profitable investment in those students' lives. Use time faithfully by not allowing students to waste time. Students, most of us are good time wasters, aren't we? Hopefully we're learning as we get older not to waste time. Some of us think we don't have enough time. But don't let students waste time. Some students are very good at wasting time, and maybe we can talk about some of the specifics of that when we're finished here. Another thing for teachers is it's important for you, and I know this is not specific with class time, it's important for you to return papers on time, to return tests on time. If students give you paper, if you have a paper due, or they do a test, or they do a worksheet, return that on time. Make a commitment to yourself, and make a commitment to your class. Most of the tests that my students take, I return the next day. Most of the papers they turn in, I return the next day. It can't always happen. But if you know that you've got a major paper turned in to you, you know it's going to be turned in on Thursday, then don't plan a big evening Thursday evening, and don't plan something that's going to exhaust you for that week. You need to block into that time for yourself to grade those papers. And if you don't, you're not really being faithful to the student. I'm not saying that you all have to always return every test and every paper the next day. But I think you should have some kind of a time agreement with your students. You may always have your papers due on Thursday. And you may tell your class, my commitment to you is I will return your papers on Tuesday. Now you've given yourself days, you've given yourself a weekend, you've given yourself time, and you will then return the papers on Tuesday. Make that your commitment for the year. That's a time commitment. Because you teach students a great deal with the way you use time. We expect our students to be on time. And by the way, just as a little detour here, in psychology we study coping mechanisms or defense mechanisms we talk about sometimes. One of them is projection. Projection was when I tend to see my faults in you. And when I see my faults in you, they really upset me. And the reason they upset me is because I don't like it about myself. And I've noticed that the teachers who get the most upset about students being late are the teachers who are most often late. That's just a little simple, and the Book of Romans talks about that. Well, we can't go into that subject. But I would like to tell you that you must have some sort of a reinforcement schedule about returning papers and tests, and I know I'm talking about this too long, but it's really important, so that you will get more mileage out of the test and out of the paper than you will if you return it on an intermittent reinforcement schedule. Let me illustrate. I know a teacher who returns papers and tests at the end of the quarter. Well, at the end of the quarter, the students don't even know what they did, nor do they care. You know what they do with them? They drop them in the round file on the way out the door, if they even wait that long. Sometimes they crumble them up and put them in the desk, and you have to go clean them out of there. And you really can't hate them for that if you waited too long to return. You can really get more mileage, so to speak, out of a test if you say, well, now today we're going to review for the test. Tomorrow we're going to take the test. The next day I return the test to you, graded. All the while we're getting 3 days worth of reinforcement out of that material. And the student is learning. They really look forward to getting... How many of you realize that students look forward to getting tests back? They do. They want those tests back. Why? Because that test is specifically them. It's specifically something that they've done. And when they get it back, and they really admire you in most cases. They really do admire you, and they appreciate the little notes that you put on their test. Just write a little note, a great job, excellent work, That word is a word that Milo's using this week here. I use that very sparingly. But when people use their best ability and they turn in good work, I'll write excellent on the top of that paper. And students, really, even though they may throw the paper away, you have utilized time to reinforce what you're doing. And you've utilized that time to reinforce the material in their mind. So, make some sort of a reinforcement schedule where you say, I'll return the papers at a certain time. Don't overdo it. Don't put yourself in such a bind that you can't do it. Don't make the promise so tight and so hard that you can't fulfill it. Give yourself enough time, but then do it. Okay, another issue on time. I think it's important to give students a little bit of time of their own at the end of each class. In high school, we change classrooms, and we have 2 minutes to go from class to class. So if I run my class right up to the bell, that means the student basically has no time to gather things together, get out of the room, get into another room on time, and then they're going to wind up being tardy in the next class. I think it's important for me to watch the clock, and I'll usually, 1 or 2 minutes before the end of the class period, I'll say, okay, folks, done a lot of hard work today. Take a minute or two to wrap up, put your things back in your trapper keeper, and get out your next material, get ready for your next class. And it gives them just time to relax a little bit, say hi to the neighbor, and stand up. I'll often give very specific instructions that students think are childish in high school. I'll say, okay, let's stand up. Everybody push their chair in their desk. Make sure the desks are lined up. You know, I do this kind of thing in 11th grade. And some students think, are we third grade or what, Mr. Reed? No, but let's just do that. I think it'll work nicely if we do it this way. And I think really it gives them comfort. It gives them a little bit of time on their own. Sometimes I'll say, okay, today the girls go first. All you fellas, sit back here, just stand at your desks and wait. Or give a specific instruction about until the bell rings, everybody stand at their desk and wait until the bell rings. Well, of course, there'll be somebody who has to go down the aisle and talk to. Have something really important to talk about with the person next to the door, you know. So I just find my way back to the door and I'll say, okay, John, I guess you'll be last today. We'll let everybody else go first. It'll only happen one time. You know, they only do it one time. So we can use time really to our advantage. We can use time to teach. We can use time to reinforce what we're doing. I feel very good about giving students a minute or two at the end of class. That way they know that I respect their time. If I'm lecturing and the bell rings and I say, one more point yet, I have to copy this down. Well, don't do it. Okay. Another thing I do to try and utilize time is write out assignments. I have a place on the board where I write out the assignments. There will be church history test Thursday. So I'll just write church history test Thursday. I'll point it to it one time. That saves me a great deal of time. Because if I'm saying it, I might have to say it 3 or 4 times. Or somebody will forget. If it's written on a board, that saves me time. I like to give directions like that. Another thing is that occasionally we'll give students free time. You know, free time. There's nothing that will help you find out what student self-discipline is like better than giving them free time. All of a sudden, you'll discover what their self-discipline is about. So whenever there is a time when they may have free time, for whatever reason, I don't know how your schools are structured, but sometimes I'll give students a little bit of free time. And I have learned to organize that free time specifically. I'll say, okay, you have some free time here. I want you to read pages 66 to 70. That's what I want you to do in that free time. Else they may waste the time. They may not use the time at all. So I think it's helpful to, if you're going to give them free time, give them some direction. Don't just say, okay, the time's yours. You can use this however you like. But give them some specific direction. And someone will say, I would like to do that at home tonight. May I do my math? I'll say, sure, that's fine. I want you doing something. Use the time wisely. So give direction whenever you get free time. That, for me, has been very helpful. Another thing is, don't let one bad student, whatever bad means here, I don't know. Don't let one bad student steal time from the rest of the class. If you have a student, typically young man or young lady, who just likes to take the time from the rest of the class, you know, monopolize your time, somehow create a disturbance, you need to somehow isolate that student, whatever you have to do. Maybe that student needs some special attention, but don't let one student set the agenda for your class day after day. There may be times when it happens, but don't let that happen on a regular basis. Don't let one student steal time from the class. Can't afford to do that. Another thing about time is, and this is not all class time, I know, don't give too much homework. I know I'm in trouble to say that to teachers, because teachers love to give homework. And the teachers always say, well, if we don't give homework, you just can't get enough work done. Every year I have to deal with parents who say, Susie comes home from school, she does homework until supper time, then she can't help with the dishes because she has to do homework until bedtime, and she's doing homework till 10 o'clock. Somehow we're going to have to learn to do things differently, folks. I don't know how much homework you give your students, but that's too much. And sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes it's the student's fault. Sometimes you'll get a student who does not know how to manage time. The parents think they're doing homework, but they don't know how to organize their time. They don't know how. Maybe they're doodling, or maybe they're writing notes to their friends, or who knows what, when they think they're doing homework. And sometimes I've had to sit down and put together some kind of a notebook, and okay, here's a notebook. You've got a blue folder for English, and you've got a green one for math, and you've got a yellow one for history, and you put all your to-do assignments on one pocket, and you put all your finished assignments on the other pocket. Here's a notebook where you write down exactly what your assignment is. This is helping that student learn to use time. And some of that you may want to do even in class, so that the student is not wasting time, but the student is getting done what they're supposed to do. I think occasionally as teachers, we want to give students a great deal of homework, and you can get sort of in competition with the home about this, because mom and dad want them to help with the milking, and want them to help in the garden, or want them to go to prayer meeting Wednesday night. And when we're encroaching on student time that much, we're taking too much time. So you may, if you want to give homework, you may have to allot 10 minutes of each of your class period times for them to get this homework started, so you can give some direction, because maybe they're not quite sure what to do. Another thing is to be flexible with your time. Be flexible with class time. Now, we are responsible to teach students, but we are responsible really to help, over and above that, these students become what God wants them to be. And I know at times I've walked into a class and maybe I've sensed that there was some kind of a problem. And of course I thought my class should go, my class should fly. But maybe it shouldn't. Maybe there's another difficulty here. Maybe there's something going on in someone's life that we haven't found out about. Maybe there are two girls sitting in the back crying. Or maybe there's somebody sitting there who's obviously defiant about something. And sometimes I just set my lecture aside and I'll talk about whatever's on my heart to talk about. And sometimes those things meet the needs of the student. This is class time management. And sometimes I have to forego what I wanted to do. Maybe I have to postpone the test today. But be flexible with that time so that you're able to meet the needs of the students. Another thing is use of objective tests. I have tried to develop over the years some good objective tests to save my own time. Well, this is not so much to do with class time, but when we're talking about time, you need to be careful that you don't overdo your time so that you don't have time to do anything. As I said before, if you give too many essay tests, you can just spend the rest of your life correcting essays, and it's not going to work. You may need to learn to give some some objective tests that have been well thought through so that the answers can help you determine what the student knows just as well as you could from an essay test, so that you are utilizing your time more wisely. Do not steal time from other teachers, particularly in a class when in a school where you do change classes, or maybe you have an art teacher that comes in, or maybe you have a music teacher that comes in at 2 o'clock. Well, make sure that you're ready for that teacher when that teacher comes. Don't steal time from other teachers. Be real careful about that. Somehow, once again, we can use that as a way to feel important. Let's be careful about doing it. Another way to utilize class time is to read to students, even high schoolers. People do not outgrow someone reading well to them. I'm planning this year to read the Bible to my students. We won't get it all read, of course. But I'm planning to read, at the beginning of each Bible class, I'm planning to read part of the Old Testament. There are many parts of the Old Testament that your students don't even know are there. They don't know things that are in Ezekiel. There are things in Hezekiah, right, that they don't know are there, okay? Yes, a few of you are awake. Okay, there are a few things in Nehemiah and other places in the Bible that we did a little bit of that last year, and my students, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Read to your student. It's a good way to start class. Read Christmas Carol Kaufman's books, Rosanna of the Amish. There's just a whole list of books you can, good books. Read a chapter or 3 pages, and the students will look forward to that, even if they're high school students. Young students especially look forward to that. It's a way to utilize time, class time, very well. I would like, in the closing, for you to turn to 2 Kings 4:26. Very interesting little passage here. This is the case of the Shunammite woman. Elisha and his servant. And I say this as an encouragement to all of you teachers, and especially to you new teachers, those of you who are new. Blessings as you meet your students the first day. School to me is very exciting. I just love to go to school. I love to meet students. I love to teach. I love to interact with students. And I'd like for you to notice what Elisha tells Gehazi to ask the Shunammite, as they're, you remember the story. They see, here comes this lady, and he tells his servant to ask her these questions. 2 Kings 4:26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her. Of course, there's a problem in this person's life. But notice the sequence of the questions. Is it well with thee? Then he says, is it well with thy husband? And then, is it well with the child? And that's a question, those are questions that you need to ask yourself. And you could make an interesting sermon out of that. I'll let you do that. The question to you teachers, the first thing you have to ask yourself, and particularly with time management, you can really get bogged down. The question that I would like to ask you, is it well with you? Have you managed your time well so that when you stand in front of your class, you're ready, you're comfortable? Is it well with you? Now, we've all been taught not to put ourselves first, right? But an interesting sequence of questions here. Is it well with you? Is it well then with your closest relationships? And I'm trying to remember how I put the message together on this. Is it well with you? And then is it well with the people who are responsible for you? And then is it well with the people for whom you are responsible? I think that's the way I've outlined it. And so that's a question I would like you to ask yourself here as a teacher. Is it well with you? Have you really invested the time? Are you ready to teach? Are you prepared? Are you using your time wisely? You've not overburdened yourself. You've taken a little time for leisure. Jesus took time to come apart and rest. Make sure you're taking time for that. Prepare for your class. Prepare for your students. You know, a long time after your students forget, as they get older in life, they may forget about gerunds and participles. They may forget what happened in 732 AD. They might forget the Edict of Milan in 313. And they may forget all those things, but they will not forget your character. They won't forget the time you invested in them. They won't forget you. And so, as you think about class time and class time management, think about time. Don't just think about how much you can cram into that of all your material, but think rather about how you are prepared and then how you are going to meet their needs. Just give you a practical example, something I started a few years ago. I think it happened when a student had been injured or sick that I had all the other students write a note to that student. What I did was just took some paper, I chopped the papers in half, I passed half sheets around, I said, make your own greeting card to this student who's sick. You know, Dear Johnny on the front, or whoever it was. Fold it creatively or however you want to. Write a message. Please don't write, how are you? I'm fine. Goodbye. You know, to a nice girl I met at Faith Mennonite High School. Don't write that stuff. Please include at least something from the scripture. Include at least one compliment about this person. Find one nice thing you can say about this person. Okay? I took my own time, my own class time that I covet real closely, right? That I guard, that I want. And yet I've had students come back, and what happened was, after we did this for one student, I realized that other students were feeling a little left out, and so I started picking maybe somebody's birthday, or if they were absent that day. I typically use somebody if they were absent, so they didn't have to sit there watching everybody write notes about them. That's a bit intimidating. And then I collected the notes. When everybody's finished, I collect them. I put them in an envelope, and I write Susie on the outside, and I say, okay, you can pick this up after school. You don't give this to them during school, or, you know, somebody will find it, and that wouldn't be good. You give it after school, so they take it home. Just a few of those little management things will help things go better. Also, you don't do things like that at the beginning of class time, or it will take the whole class period. You do it like now. There are 8 minutes left in this class. Here are your papers. Write notes to Susie. Please, I'll take them as you walk out the door. That's class time management, so that they are now put in some sort of a bind that they've got to produce within a certain period of time. I also recall a time when there was a girl in one of the classes who was slated for surgery, and there was a possibility that they would discover cancer. And we took the whole period to pray for her. That was my time, but we gave it to her. So with your class time, it's not only the time that you're guarding so carefully and you're trying to get everything in that time. Be careful how you do it. Take time for the student. Be sensitive to their needs and utilize those opportunities. I think someone has paraphrased what Paul said to Timothy. What, the instant in season, out of season? Someone has paraphrased by saying, take opportunities to teach and make opportunities to teach. And it's not always the opportunities that you think are there. But as you're sensitive to what God's leading you to do in a particular class, then utilize that time and manage that time cautiously so that it will result in a benefit to your student. Now, you also have this rhyme and reason paper, I think. I have a file with things like this in it, and every now and then, you know, maybe in the middle of February, the day's gotten long, and just to have a little fun, I'll say, okay, folks, we have a test today. I'll usually do it in the last 15 minutes of the period. It'll test for you. Oh, no, you didn't tell us about it. Of course, it's the ones with the perfect scores who don't want to have their, and they start scrambling through their books, and then I'm passing out these tests, and it turns out to be this, which is really, you know, just a test of their ability. It's good, clean, fun. It's something that will help them think creatively. And, well, I guess I won't do it for you. I'll let you do this whenever you want to. But I have a file of things like this that, well, maybe you come to school not feeling so well someday and just you know, is it well with you? Well, some days you may need to rely on things like this. And then don't just use them in a willy-nilly fashion, but keep them for the rainy day. Keep them for the time when, you know, when you may need to do something just to have a little bit more fun than studying about the subject that day. Well, anyway, a pleasant slice, a pleasant segment of bread is a nice slice. I guess you figured that out, and I'll let you do the rest of it. Okay. Anyone have any questions or comments about anything you've heard from me today? The next 6 minutes are yours. Maybe something I said that I shouldn't have, or maybe something you'd like correction or clarification on. Don't be bashful. Some of you are bashful. Don't be bashful.
I'm not a teacher. I guess I've made it to school somewhat this year and that sort of thing. I'm wondering the value of spending 15, 20 minutes reading the text up or whatever. And then it's so
okay. He's challenging my suggestion that you read to your students, and if I spend 10 or 15 minutes reading to them, that takes time out of class. And of course, that pushes more work into homework. I'm not saying you need to read to students. Maybe do it every Monday. You don't need to do it. I find it as sort of just a refreshing way to get students into things that they wouldn't get into otherwise, to teach them that there are good materials out there, teach them the joy of reading. But no, it's not necessary. And I know your schools are, you really have a broad representation of schools here and the way schools operate. Some of your schools operate on very tight schedules, you know, with no frills. I understand that. I do it with maybe a little bit more frill. I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
Students like that reading, though.
They do.
Yeah, well, mine did. Yeah. They beg.
You gotta be a little careful about that. Sometimes they're begging to get out of hard work.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
I didn't think that was the worst.
5 minutes? Sure. And reading with expression. Many people do not know how to read with expression. But if you read, and you read well, it really is a very educational experience, in my estimation. And 5 minutes, or poems. Sometimes I'll read poems. Good poems. Okay, you still have 3 minutes. All right, I will not take more of your time. Thank you. Blessings on your year.
Thank you very much for coming and sharing, Frank. You are seeing rather. I really do want to leave these glasses on the table because I don't know quite how to use them. I can't quite figure out whether I'm supposed to get this up here or get this down here, and how to look through these things. It's really a little bit of a difficulty. But I do need to learn how to use them because I can see much better with them if I figure out how to do it. There's prayer meeting this evening, and Brother John Swartz will share at 6:45 here. The tapes, there's a sheet out here in the foyer that you can get, and if you want tapes, they're all being taped. And they are $2.50 a tape. And the one side of the sheet has teacher's workshop, and the other has the colloquy tapes if you have any interest in those. And please, if you get this filled out before you leave ahead of time, enough ahead of time, you can take these with you and it'll be cheaper. There's also the registration form out there. And just fill that out. Some of you there's been some question about paying, and you can pay at the office, I think, for today. Try to do that after the 4 o'clock session. We will return here for 1:30. If you would be here a little early, you will be on time. If you would stand, and Brother Leland Miller, if you would lead in prayer and remember the noon meal.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.